L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're live at Titans training camp today. Chase McCabe and Willie Donick. D-Mace with the week off as he is on vacation. We say hello now to Mitch Light from The Athletic, who joins us. Mitch, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, Chase. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. I know we're going to get into kind of a recruiting symposium thing that The Athletic has put out there, but I want to start with just some general things with college football. As I look at the Tennessee Vols going into this season, and you know that Josh Heupel and his offense is going to be up-tempo. We saw it last year with Hendon Hooker now is being maybe even a dark horse Heisman candidate at some point. You know that he's going to flourish in that. One thing that stood out to me when I read stuff about them, the fact that they're bringing back an experienced offensive line. I think they only lost one member of the O-line. They're bringing back four of the five starters. And there were so many times over the years that you would talk about Tennessee football and how they had so many questions at the offensive line. I think that could be a very underrated thing for them this year to bring back four of their five starters.
Yeah, Chase, no doubt about it. And, you know, when you're looking at teams' fortunes for an upcoming season, it's easy to look at a quarterback, a lot of things, but it's always a wise place to take a close look at offensive line, not just how many starters are back, but, you know, if they're back in the same spots and all that. And, you know, I'm just off the top of my head, it seems like Tennessee had just so many years of offensive line woes, and someone who follows the program closer than me can probably pinpoint it better. But remember, it was the 2012 year where Derek Dooley signed no offensive lineman in a class, which was just staggering. I mean, now in the year of the transfer portal and where you can some more quick fixes, maybe we'll see that. But I'd never come across a Power Five or any program going, you know, signing upwards of 20, 25 players and not getting one offensive lineman. And then under Butch Jones, they had some of those. They signed some five-star guys, but they were always seemingly very young on the offensive line. So, yeah, I would agree. Having an offensive line back, and, you know, every system for football is unique, and you got it. The more you're used to it, the better. But it just seems like in this up-tempo, having a year of experience for this group even matters even more. So, yeah, it's another reason to like this offense and the potential that they have this year.
And a member of that offense is going to be wide receiver Cedric Tillman, and your colleague at The Athletic, Andy Staples, has a piece today on him, and the red line reads, Cedric Tillman is ready to lead Tennessee, and Vols fans can thank Clay Helton for that. And, you know, he kind of references his whole career there, that obviously he didn't really do anything, and then he kind of has a breakout year, and now all of a sudden he's the go-to guy. He's going to be moving up draft boards, but I look for a very exciting season out of Tillman.
Yeah, and like I literally have that link open. I've not read Andy's story yet. I plan on reading it in a little bit. But that just goes to show, you know, not kind of in the world we live in, you know, you expect big things and you dismiss guys if they don't pan out or if they don't have big seasons, and you just never know where stuff's going to come from. And, you know, Tillman had a breakout year last year and is now one of the more, you know, dangerous, proven receivers in the SEC and a guy who knows the system well. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, we just talked about the offensive line. You got a quarterback that you obviously feel good about, and Tillman, one of the, you know, experienced wide receivers there. So, I would be shocked if he didn't have a good year statistically.
We're talking to Mitch Light, college football editor from The Athletic, covers college football. And, Mitch, it was pretty cool. I read some of the stuff that came out of the symposium, but I think you were around it. You talked to a lot of people that were directly involved in this. It took place right downtown Nashville. So what was the biggest takeaway for you about the event?
Yeah, so first of all, it was something called the Player Personnel Symposium, and I'm not even actually sure who runs it. But it started in 2000, maybe 2019 was the first year, I'm not sure. But it's not for any college coaches or anything. It's all recruiting staffers, from recruiting coordinators down to anyone, again, on a staff, you know, nowadays you've got staffs as big as 10, 15 people. I guess a lot of programs are in that 5, 6, 7 range. So there's a lot of schools represented. It's sort of like a coaching convention. You see all the polo shirts with the logos, saw logos of pretty much every school there. So it was an event for that. And, you know, the media was welcome to attend. You know, the Athletic, we had 4 people there. I went because I'm here local, but we had 3 writers coming from out of town who cover recruiting. You know, 247 Sports had some people, On3 had some people there. So it was just a good, you know, good way to just catch up with people and just kind of find out what these recruiting staffers are going through. And if you check out on The Athletic, Max Olson, one of my colleagues who was here, did a story about the survey. They surveyed all the people, all the recruiting staffers, and one of the ones that stuck out to me was about photo shoots.
You know, that was the next thing I was going to ask you about. It was the most eye-opening one for me. Explain.
Yeah, no, so a little background. Everyone's seen these on Twitter, but a little background information. Go just Google, like, photo shoots, The Athletic, and you can Google Ari Wasserman, one of our writers who did it. About 4 or 5 months ago, a story about these photo shoots and how they've just become all the rage. And, you know, now basically every recruit who comes through your unofficial or official visit gets a photo shoot. And they are such a pain in the new you-know-what for these staffs. And no one likes doing them, but they all have to do them because who's going to turn anyone down? I mean, it takes hours to do. You have to have your people set up everything. Your equipment staff has to get uniforms out and the color combination and all this stuff. And, like, the story that Ari wrote, something about a kid from Dallas riding a horse at Oklahoma State on a photo shoot. And, I mean, you've seen, like, the guy at Michigan State, Samson Okanlola, who went to the offensive line. He's yet to commit, probably going to go to Miami. But his nickname is the Pancake Honcho because he's an offensive lineman and pancakes kid. So Michigan State, he's eating these stacks of pancakes. So they're cooking pancakes for him and all this stuff. So they pulled everyone, and let me pull it up right here. I think it was, you might have it, Willie, it was something like 80% of people, the staffers, okay, 78% allow only for official visits. That makes sense. Kids in town for an official visit, you're showing them around, you all the bells and whistles, that's great. 20% said allow for all unofficial and official visits, the current rule, and 2% said completely get rid of them. So, yeah, I mean, that's just one of the things you don't really think about, but it just takes hours and hours. And there's kids coming on official visits, like, every day in the summer, too. I mean, there's dead periods, but, like, let's say in the month of June, it's, like, literally nonstop. I wasn't surprised that was the result of the poll.
And the people that were on a panel discussing this, those are the foot soldiers. Those are the ones on the ground that actually have to coordinate all of this stuff. And they talked about the toll it takes on a staff from the top down, but really the guys that actually have to get the horse and get it over to the photo shoot and coordinate with the photo shoot people. I mean, it's unbelievable. But I guess at the end of the day, what the angle is, look, as superficial as it is, this might be the difference between us getting this 5-star guy or this 4-star guy as opposed to not getting them. And so they end up doing it. But at what cost? It does seem like, Mitch, there's a lot of concern amongst these guys on the staffs of burnout.
Yeah, and kind of like people will say, I don't feel sorry for these coaches. They're making, you know, even position coaches now, you know, are all making $250,000, $500,000, whatever. But these recruiting staffers, some of them, you know, most of them are young. Well, not all of them, but they're not making a lot of money. And they're the ones, you know, I know that's the way that works with these coaches who come up and who are making the money. Now, they started as grad assistants and plugging away and working the, you know, 80, 90-hour weeks, and I get it now. But that's basically, you know, what these people are doing, and they really, it can't go on forever. There needs to be some sort of legislation, you know, with official visits in June now. I think it's a good thing for the sport, probably, because, you know, it used to be most of the official visits were during the football season. Well, you go on a weekend, and the coaches, they're trying to win a game. They're trying to coach, and you don't have you can't spend as much quality time with the head coach or the coordinators. Now in the summer, you can, but what it's done is, you know, made the calendar, so to speak, longer, where there's just that they don't have the time off that they used to have as college staff. So I'm interested to see, you know, everyone seems to think there needs to be some sort of legislation altering the calendar, but, you know, we've seen a lot of things like this with the NCAA, and sometimes things just don't get done.
I think my favorite question, Mitch Light is with us from The Athletic, was what is your comfort level with the alleged cheating currently going on in college football? 92% saying the wild, wild west. Kudos to the 4% that said only a small fair amount and the 4% that said completely comfortable with it. I'd love to know who they were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was all anonymous. You know, I think I wasn't in the room when they did it, but they have these little things. I think you can do it on your phone now. You know, they do a poll there, so I guess
the survey.
Just survey. Look over people's shoulders to see what they're voting on. And Willie, I wanted to go back. If we got to go, you can just cut me off. But one thing I meant to say too about the photo shoots is, you know, you talk to a lot of recruiting coordinators and coaches, in an honest moment, they'll tell you they don't want the kid necessarily who swayed by a photo shoot, who came to your school because he rode a horse on a photo shoot. Now, I get it, having fun, these are kids, but they also, these same coaches aren't going to say no to any of that because they don't want to be the staff that is no fun, that doesn't do that. So it's really a fine line that all these schools are trying to play.
It is a great. We're going to spend some time. We actually asked Austin Hooper of the Titans about that aspect of it from his perspective years later. I mean, of course, he didn't go through this, but he looks back on, you know, what all this would mean. So in our next segment, we're going to play some of that. But, Mitch, what about the wild, wild west? Because it does certainly see. I would venture to say, too, the 4% who are completely comfortable probably live in the wild, wild west. They're probably out west.
Jimbo Fisher.
So they just live there. So they're comfortable with it. But it does look like we're at a point where it's just hard to envision anybody getting busted for anything they do at this point.
Yeah, and Craig, cut me off if I've said this last week with you guys. I don't think I did. But Antonio Morales, our USC writer, had a story coming off Pac-12 Media Day, which was 2 weeks ago. And I thought Lincoln Riley had just a very refreshing answer. You know, USC is in one of those schools that is the haves and the have-nots. They're in the have. Now, they're not, you know, huge fan base, wealthy alumni, but they don't have a collective right now or a very active collective that rivals some of the others. And Lincoln Riley just said, I just want to know the rules. If we can do it, we can do it. Like, if we're allowed to do it, we're at a place where we can do it. We can mobilize the efforts and do all this. But we're told we can't do it, so we're not doing it now while other people are doing it. You know, so it was just sort of like, I just want to know the rules. If I can do it, we're going to do it. I think that's what a lot of people say that in that haves groups. Then you have the other 80%, because it's not everybody. It's far from everybody. You have a lot of schools that they don't want to use it as an inducement, and they're not doing it as an inducement. What they want to do is provide opportunities for their current players to, hey, you come to this school, you're going to be taken care of, you're going to get $20,000 a year, you're going to get $10,000 a year, you're going to have to do some things for it, you know, some appearances, but, you know, you're not going to be a poor student-athlete here, you're not going to struggle to, you know, take your girlfriend out to dinner and all that stuff. So, you know, it's just everyone's kind of waiting to see what happens. But to specifically answer your question, I don't think that's realistic to think there's going to be some sort of punitive to these schools that are doing it now, which are, quote-unquote, breaking the rules as they are written.
Yeah, for sure. Mitch, appreciate the time as always. A lot of college football stuff on the horizon. We look forward to doing it again soon.
All right, take care, guys.
Mitch Light, The Athletic's the college football editor for The Athletic. And look, we're going to discuss this coming up next. Austin Hooper had a great answer on it, but, you know, some of the things, especially with the photo shoots when it comes to recruiting and where we are nowadays, we will get into that coming up here on Chase William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the old town road.
Back here, Chase William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe and Willie Donick with you. Old Town Road, the photo shoot. A horse, a Rolls Royce, 10 pairs of cleats, the growing importance of photo shoots in college football recruiting. Talking about that from The Athletic. Ari Wasserman and Antonio Morales writing that piece. But and then Lil Nas X providing the soundtrack with Billy Ray Cyrus.
I wonder if they played that song when they got the horse for the recruit. Did you know about this, Chase? I'll be honest. Until I read this article.
What about photo shoots?
Yes. I had no idea how big the photo shoot piece of a recruiting visit was. I can tell you, and of course I'm now, a generation plus removed from the recruiting scene. When I went on my official visits, I did not do a photo shoot of any kind.
Well, so
I bought a hat from the bookstore.
I feel like that I kind of got the wind of this because it used to be you would see recruits be like, all right, let's say Ladarius, our on-site engineer. Ladarius Robinson goes to Florida, and he'd pose in his, you know, number 17 Florida jersey, you know, has the pads on and everything. And I saw, you know, and then he'd go to Ole Miss, and it's the same thing. Like, he's in the Ole Miss jersey, or then he's in Oklahoma or whatever. And I would see that, and I'm like, all right, well, that's kind of cool. Then see what they look like in the uniform.
Yeah, if you take 5 minutes and do it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I don't really have a problem with that. Now it's become, and I forgot who the player was, but Brian Kelly, after he did, you know, became a Southerner and had his accent at the basketball game, it was him and I'd have to go look it up. Another somebody he recruited, and they're doing the 360 degree photo booth, and like Kelly's got the sunglasses on, and they're like pointing and all this stuff, and I'm like, now we're getting ridiculous. Like, come on. Like, the head coach is doing this crap.
There are videos now. Yeah.
Yeah, there's videos. Like, it's
major production.
Yes.
See, that's sort of the thing of the article. I had no idea how in-depth it had become. So it's not just they snap a couple pictures on the phone with you wearing the uniform. It's a whole process that takes hours. You lay out the uniforms. What combination do you want, Chase? Do you want the orange pants with the black jersey? Do you want the white jersey with the white pants? Hey, it's your choice.
Right.
What kind of cleats do you want to wear? What color helmet do you want to wear? We got the lighting. What do you want in the background? Do you want a horse in the background? Now, this is becoming
something. I'd want a race car.
So that there's a lot of levels to this because why do the kids want it? Well, quote, branding.
Yes.
Right? I can use the social media. Hey, I visited so-and-so. I'm hot stuff. Look at my Twitter. Look at my Instagram. Look at these really cool videos I have. And there are some schools that have taken the bait, and they're like, okay, that's how we're going to get so-and-so to come to our school. We're going to have the coolest photo shoot ever. We're going to go next level. We're going to bring a horse in here. We're going to have a Mercedes-Benz behind him. We're going to have this super sports car. It's going to be awesome. And that's how we're going to get them. But what's happened now is who actually puts together the photo shoot? Well, you got all these people. You got to have a photographer. You got to have the lighting. You got to have the set. You got to have the people that actually go bring the props in and then return them back. It's not like you have a horse at the football office ready to bring in there. And here's what's been happening. I go on my recruiting visit. I spend a couple hours doing that at the expense of going to see the training table, going to a class, maybe seeing what a class is like on a college campus. The dorms, all of that, like actually talking to the coaches about football. You know, there's a lot of your time. I do know this, having been on recruiting trips. Time goes fast, right? That you're not there for very long. And you want to get as much out of that as you can. And if what are you really getting out of the photo shoot? It is really disturbing to me that that's become what it is. To me, it's kind of chasing the short term.
Yeah.
What can I get NIL out of this? You know, okay, great. But listen to Austin Hooper about this when I asked him about it. Now, Austin Hooper predates this era of college football, but he's seeing what's going on. I asked him about the value of going to Stanford, right? And you know, what he took out of that and the fact that he was playing in a pro system. But I asked him about, you know, how it's become a lot about branding, a lot about how your TikTok and your social media looks. Here's what he had to say. So the guys, when they go to these different campuses, have all the lingo and the videos they can send out in social media that could lead to NIL. It's great. But in 10, 15 years, what's that really going to do for you?
I mean, shoot, man. I already feel like the old man. I'm like, back in my day, 2016. I was 2016 draft. So, I mean, before then, it was still – you know, truly amateurism. I mean, well, we can get the other stuff later. But, I mean, just the whole landscape's changed. And in my opinion, kids are so worried about where they're recruited instead of actually learning the fundamentals of the game. That's why you see all these five-star guys flame out and you see preferred walk-ons turn themselves into who they are. I mean, there are more undrafted guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame than first-rounders. And, I mean, that's just a testament to – you can either be about the show or you can really be about your business. So, I mean, I think a lot of kids, especially with social media, got that twisted because it's a very immediate, I need self-gratification now. And then they're putting, in my opinion, just working with some high school kids throughout our break, they just put way too much stock into like their TikToks and Instagrams, where it's just like, guys, just focus on the fundamentals. All the other stuff will come. If you play good ball, all this other stuff will happen.
I'm going to go on a rant for a second because he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And
that's,
it's not just
Austin Hooper, Tennessee Titans tight end, on that subject.
And it's not just athletes. I think it's everybody. Like, I sit here and I think about, like, okay, my phone. And I'm on my phone a lot. I'm on my phone way too much.
We all are.
We all are. But, you know, Twitter and Instagram and not even as much Facebook anymore. I don't really find myself on Facebook as much anymore. But then I see, like, even as a 35-year-old man, if I post something on Twitter or Instagram, you know what I'm doing? I'm looking at, okay, who's liked
it? What kind of response did
I get?
Yeah,
who's liked it? Who's retweeted it?
I'm guilty of that as well. No question.
And I think to myself, I'm like, why the hell do I care about that kind of an engagement? But I do. Like, because that's where we've gone with society, and so.
But the your particular job and mine,
sure,
there is part of our profession leans on that.
Yeah.
So that,
like,
is,
do people
so
like me? Do people like you?
So I can argue anyway that is productive to some level. There's probably a level where we both need to let it go. Like, okay, dude.
But at the same time,
nobody else is going to see this tweet. It's time to move on.
But at the same time, in what we do, they will tell us, hey, you need to be on social media more. You need to interact with people more. You need to post more. Because that, in turn, is going to lead to people listening to you on the radio.
Right. But that is part of our job. The question that I think Austin Hooper is asking is, this isn't really part of the job when you're in high school. The job is to become the best player and best student and best person you can be. You're developing your life skills. And more with this kind of stuff, we lose sight of that.
Yeah.
I've
always talked
about this. You could probably take a clip of something I said on a show like this 15 years ago, way before we had Twitter or anything like that. And I said, you know, there's probably some reason I said we're getting away from it. But think about the absolute hollowness of a photo shoot. First of all, if you go to 5 official visits, not let alone, like, part of the debate in Nashville was, should we even let the kids do this when it's an unofficial visit?
Right.
Because then you got to let every Tom, Dick, and Harry come through there, have a photo shoot, and it's just ridiculous how much the lower-level employees have to work their tails off to do something classy for people that aren't going to end up at your school anyway.
Look,
it's not going to make any difference. But even if it does, what value does that really have in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? We're losing sight of what you want to choose a school for. I understand that at the highest level, and when you're a really highly sought-after recruit, you want to go to a good team, and you want to set all these things. But if you're preoccupied by how cool the photo shoot looks, that can only be a negative on what it is you should be focused on, and let alone what Austin Hooper's talking about, spending a lot of time away from that stuff, worrying about TikTok and your, quote, brand, rather than putting in the fundamentals, working your tail off to be the best player you can be.
Look,
it's messed up.
Nick, get Mike Gundy on the phone. Tell him that I want a photo shoot with a horse. I got 4 years eligibility left.
You want Lil Nas there, too?
What's that?
I said, you want Lil Nas there, too?
Yes. I need Lil Nas X there. And I want to do this photo shoot at Oklahoma State on a horse. I mean, I agree. But it's all about the brand. That's all they care about now. That's all people care about. Not just athletes. It's everybody. It's, oh, what can I do for my brand? And it's because we've allowed that to happen. Everybody can have a podcast. Everybody can have a streaming show. Everybody can have Twitter. Everybody can have Instagram. You can do whatever you want with it. It's all about, you know, the work you're willing to put into it.
Yeah.
And what's crazy to me is I see these kids that they want to work more on building their brand when they should be in the classroom and they should be studying the playbook and they should be worried about building their brand from what's actually going to get them paid.
Yeah. Austin Hooper went on to talk about that with young players he sees coming into the NFL, and that is When you get to the NFL, it ain't about your TikTok.
No.
It's about houses and cars, and you either sink or swim. He said they throw you into the deep end with cinder blocks on, and they find out who can swim. It ain't about your brand. It's a whole different thing. So it is not doing these kids any service at all. And when we come back, Chase, I want to talk about the parents' part of this too.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
where are they? Where are they? They should be the ones telling the kids, hey, man, let me tell you, as somebody a little older, it ain't about this. You need to be looking at what is the school and who are the coaches, who are the people that are going to be around you, not your social media and what color the jersey is. It's easy to fall into that trap. So let's talk about that part when we come back.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call coming up next.
I'd love to hear what other people have to say about this, too.
615-737-1025. Recruiting practices and how out of hand they've gotten. We'll discuss the parents coming up next. 1025, 1063, the game. Chase Willie and D Mace, 1025, 1063, the game out at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. We've been out here for Titans training camp. You heard from Austin Hooper earlier today. This is the last practice before the Titans get ready to head to Baltimore to take on the Ravens in their first preseason game Thursday night. But right now, taking your calls, your texts on the recruiting practices in college football. Photo shoots is how this really started, as the jet dryers go by here on the field. But the photo shoot conversation is really how we got into this. And, Willie, I know you wanted to kind of weigh in on the parents' role in this.
Yeah. To me, even if your kid gets swept up in it, I understand how that can happen for the kid. You know, it's so much about your status on social media. You're getting all kinds of attention. That's all good. But somebody should be cross-checking that and trying to balance it out and saying, son, when you do these photo shoots, have a good time with it. But just remember, you want to put some thought into what school you're going to. Where is the school? What kind of school is it? What kind of people are around me? All of those things. Listen to this quote from the dad in this article in The Athletic, which I, again, highly recommend that you read. Anytime this is talking about just the extravagance, the detail put into the kid that got a horse to ride on the photo shoot. Just think about it. You get a call. You work for the staff. Chase, this is Coach Donick. We got a recruit coming in. He's really good, and he kind of likes different things. Can you go get the horse? Drive down. Get us a horse for this photo shoot. I need it there by 9 a.m. because he's coming in at 9:30. Okay, so we got to make sure we get the horse in there. And the blower's going by.
Yes.
But can you imagine? You hang up the phone. What's your reaction to that? Like, you're gonna be cursing me out. Like, how can he make me do this? I've got to get up on a Saturday morning and do all this stuff as we get showered with grass. Thanks a lot, guys. But imagine that. Just the stupidity of all that. But here's what the father says. It's nothing about, hey, you know, I try to remind him this is all kind of for show, and there's no substance to this. Here's the quote. Anytime teams go above and beyond to show kids they're wanted, that's great. We had no idea there was going to be a horse there. He's not a country boy by any stretch, but his swag is different and it appeals to the type of kid he is. Really? That makes a big difference to the dad that they brought a horse to the photo shoot? I mean, come on. The parents should be the ones that are pounding it in to the kids. Remember about you are going to school. And even if you want to go to the NFL.
But that's the problem. They're not doing that because the parents are wanting to ride the coattails of their kids. And
well, it shouldn't be like that.
No, but you know it's true. I mean, there are a lot that it is that it's like, oh, yeah, I can be famous because I'm so-and-so's dad.
Well, I'd hate to think that that's a big motivation for that many people, but I'm sure that happens in some cases. But let's say you want to be a good dad and you're thinking, hey, maybe this is great. Here we go again.
Here's
our next round. Thanks a lot, guys.
How are we doing?
How are we doing? Just blow that grass right at us. So anyway, here's what Austin Hooper had to say. If your mindset is you want to make it to the pros, forget about the goal being you want to build life skills that are going to help you when you're done playing. God forbid you would want to pound that in there. But let's say you want the goal to be make it to the NFL. Well, here's what all of that horse and photo shoot stuff means once you get to the NFL. Listen to what Austin Hooper had to say.
They just put way too much stock into, like, their TikToks and Instagrams, where it's just like, guys, just focus on the fundamentals. All the other stuff will come. If you play good ball, all this other stuff will happen.
That's Austin Hooper.
Okay. He goes on. He's got a better answer about when you actually get into training camp and you learn all that it takes to be a professional. It has absolutely nothing to do with your brand on social media. So here is a couple more quotes that I thought were kind of eye-opening on this. The recruiting coordinator from Louisville, it's a creativity thing. It does add a little something special that they don't see or get on a typical basis. That's our whole goal. Whenever we do something, no matter what school you're at, you don't suit up to be second. So that's the competition that starts. Oh, so-and-so had a good photo shoot over at X University. Well, we got to do it better. And how about this? In the cars, like, so instead of a horse, you have a car in the background. That's important because that's what these kids aspire to have. Part of it is giving people a vision of what the future can be. It gives them something to reach for. A car? Really?
Yeah.
You want to have a nice car? Great. How about, though, having the skills to get a good job? Life after football? That doesn't mean anything. It's all about a car? And that's a coach talking right there. So this is really messed up to me. I think it's really sad. It's not what I am stressing to my son, who's going through this process on his own level for baseball, which is a lot different than football or basketball. He just went through a really constructive two-day camp up in New York where they had a lot of college coaches there. And fortunately, it was much more about, hey, let's have baseball as part of the equation here, but let's also put some thought into what kind of school do you want to be? Do you want to be in a city?
Right.
Do you want to be close to a city? Do you want to be in a college town that's really removed from a main city? What does all that stuff mean? Have you even thought about it? What kind of class sizes do you want to be in? You know, certainly,
and that,
you
want to
you
so
want to look
important.
At where do I fit? Am I going to be, when I get there as a freshman, am I going to be competing with one
sure.
other guy, five other guys? All of that stuff's important, but all of this is stuff that you've got to think about. And if you don't think about it and you're only worried about, hey, I can TikTok, I'm wearing the orange jersey and the black pants, and I have a horse, I'm going to get a lot of follows on TikTok, then you're going to be screwed up.
Yeah.
It's going to screw you
and
up.
And I think the role of the parent is, and coaches too, is you have to remind these kids of, hey, you know what? You're good. You're right. You're talented.
Yes.
But guess what? You may not play on Sundays. 1% do. So what are you going to do if that doesn't work out? You going to build your TikTok, or are you going to go get an education and actually go get a job?
And no matter how heavily you're recruited, and no matter how many choices you have, and this is part of the reason why I think the transfer portal fills up so fast, is you're going to get there and have heavy competition to play. I don't care what position you play, what sport you play, everybody on your team is going to be really good. No matter how many TikTok followers you have, no matter how much NIL dollars, and you wait, there will be a ton of horror stories about NIL money that kids were promised if they did this or that, or they thought they were supposed to get 500 grand and they didn't get it because they weren't playing or they got injured. You wait. That is going to happen. And it ain't about how many followers you have and how you could retweet this or you can be in a picture with it. If you're worried about that stuff, you are susceptible to getting big time burned on that. If you're about, as Austin Hooper said, the fundamentals, getting better, focusing on the right things, focusing on actually going to class and thinking big picture, the other stuff will be there. It will be there. The NIL money will be there. Your playing experience will be there. All of that will be taken care of. If you get too caught up in the other stuff, you will get burned.
Coming up next, we will look at the unofficial Titans depth chart that came out earlier today, give some final thoughts from practice. Stillman & Company coming up at the top of the next hour, but it's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Live here, it's Ascension St. Thomas Sports
Chase
Park.
Chase is rattled. He's rattled.
Have we already heard this? once today.
Twice, I think. This could be the third time.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Once per show. Like, come on. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Chase is rattled. He's rattled. The Mets took 4 out of 5. Edwin Diaz saved 3 out of the 5 games.
The,
and he's a
the rookie producer is trolling me now. Come on now.
That's tough. That's tough. Trolling the suit, that takes guts as a rookie.
I know. We got
a rookie producer.
Got to use a mound visit. Ladarius got to come out and make sure I'm all right. You good, man? You good? Can you keep going? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Come on, let's go. Give me the pitch. Let's go. But we're live here at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park.
Oh, we're live. We've just been showered with grass.
Showered with grass.
Yeah, we're live.
Got the blowers here. Stillman & Company coming up here in just a few minutes. Jared heard something from Ryan Tannehill today that he really liked. You will hear that coming up at 2 o'clock. But the unofficial depth chart has come out for the Titans. And on the offensive side of the ball, Dylan Radins with a slash listed at right tackle. Dylan Radins and then Nicholas Petit-Frere and then Aaron Brewer as the left guard. You know, I think that they probably want Dylan Radins to win that job at right tackle.
All right, what's your theory behind that? Why do you think they want him to win the job?
Well, I mean, you draft a guy in the second round, I mean, you want production out of him.
Okay, they drafted Petit-Frere in the third round. Do you want production out of him?
I think the idea would be for him to, you know, kind of study, and then eventually one of the two takes over for Lawan when he's done, and then you have them both as starting offensive linemen, offensive tackles. That's kind of how I look at it. But right now, you know, Radins has been here for a year. So you would expect that he's ready to play, and you don't know if he's ready to play.
Okay. That is an interesting thought I hadn't considered, is you want to focus on the replacement for Lawan down the road. But to me, you got to – whoever is the best man for the job is the best man for the job. I do think one of the things that is a big factor in how all of us – view Radins is second round pick. Because he's a second round pick, there's an expectation, and my theory is a little different than yours. I just think that when they get in there and get on the field, I don't think they care at all who was drafted in what round, especially a second round pick versus a third round pick. It is simply who's the best guy for the job. And I think it's one of the more compelling races, competitions that's going on right now in camp, because in the last few days in particular, you're starting to hear Petit-Frere's name mentioned more.
Sure.
From the coaches. It's being noticed more by the people that watch every day. And, of course, it's all, from the media standpoint, coming from a perspective of everybody watched Radins last year and really didn't get to see much.
Right.
He was not a guy that really did anything.
Well, and it's not that they care. I mean, Vrabel is going to put the best five out on the offensive line that he's seen. But, you know, one thing that we're always going to talk about is with John Robinson is, okay, well, he drafted this guy here and this guy there and this guy worked and this guy didn't. You know, if a second-round pick flops, while the third-round pick in Petit-Frere may shine, people are still going to go, well, yeah, what about Radins? You took him in the second round.
I think it's a part of it as a GM. I know, and it's part of it as the media. But I just think sometimes we look too much at every particular guy in the first or second round. I look at a draft class as a whole and how many – and Floyd Reiss was really the guy that taught me this, because he was going through some interesting times in the post – Black Friday or Black Monday, whatever day of week was when he had to release everybody from that team, and they had to blow it up and start over. And they went from being a contender for 5 straight years with a Super Bowl appearance, another AFC championship appearance, a number one seed. You know, they had a 5-year run where they were in the mix basically every year, to being one of the youngest teams in the league. And then people started really getting on him about all of the swings and misses of this draft pick or that draft pick. And so what he did is he did a study on how did his team and how did his draft picks compare to other teams. And how many guys are still in the league from this draft class and this year, going back a few years, how many players are still on the team, how many players are starting. He did all of that. And what it comes down to, what it teaches you, if you look at the league-wide, nobody bats 1,000 in their picks. Everybody's got a couple of draft picks, a first rounder, a second rounder. Pick a round, And I'll guarantee you everybody's got a flop in that round in recent times. Nobody goes 100% in that stuff. So I look at it more of, okay, you didn't get this guy in the first round. He didn't pan out. But what about this guy you got in the fifth round? As long as you're getting a certain amount of help each year, that's good. And that's enough. Now, last year, I think we can pick – that has been a concern, especially at the guys at the top. But I'm encouraged. Let's just – if you want to take Radins and say he's disappointment, I think it's encouraging what this year's draft class has looked like so far. They're all out there, and they're all looking like they're tracking to do something. Kyle Phillips had another really good day today. He looks like he's going to have a role. Chig Okonkwo looks like he's going to have a role. You know, Caleb Farley from last year, this is kind of a redshirt year, yep. He's tracking pretty well. McCreary is looking really good. Treylon Burks, absolutely,
yep.
Looking very good. So they got to do it on the field. But my point is that not everybody could make it. Otherwise, you'd have too many players in the league.
Sure.
The league would expand to 64 teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're going to miss. You're going to hit some. That's how it is. Some more highlights from the depth chart. Westbrook Akina is listed as a starting receiver, followed by Treylon Burks. But, you know, my guess is you're going to see a lot of Treylon Burks coming up Thursday against Baltimore. I would hope so. I would like to see him get some time.
And Mike Vrabel said nothing. No clues at all about who's going to be playing, who's not.
Yeah, he dodged.
They tried different ways of asking it, what goes into the decision, and he was offering nothing.
Dodged those questions, which you would expect from him on that. Offensively, I mean, Malik Willis is listed as the third quarterback. I think he's going to play quite a bit on Thursday. You'll see. I don't think you see Tannehill. Derek convinced me.
Derek was into that.
I don't think you'll see Tannehill.
Yep, and that's what we'll find out. Do they? If you do, I think it would only be maybe for one series.
Yep.
But maybe two series. If you go three and out, you won't see him much if you do it all. But that'll be something to look for. Do they play at all?
Defensively, you just brought up Caleb Farley. Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton listed as the starting corners. McCreary behind Farley. Elijah Molden behind Christian.
Isn't there a slash with Farley and McCreary?
Yes. Yes, there is.
So
that is true.
That is an important notation. It looks like it's a toss-up. That's another good area.
Yeah,
a good problem to have.
There are three slashes on this depth chart. Aaron Brewer slash Jamarco Jones, Dylan Radin slash Nicholas Petit-Frere, and then Caleb Farley slash Roger McCreary.
And, you know, talking to Teron Davenport, it does appear, and I think this is the consensus from not just Teron but everybody watching, that Aaron Brewer, the feel is that he is winning that job pretty significantly right now at left guard. The other two are a little bit more open. The other piece of the equation in the secondary is, of course, there's room for a lot of guys to play, right? With
sure.
Offensive line, you want to go with your five. It's not a rotation like it is in college sometimes, or even on the defensive line in the pros. You want your five in there, and that's your five, with the chemistry and all of the nuances that go into that. So it's much more significant. Whereas the defensive backfield, if you don't win the job on the outside, they're going to use you. You're going to be able to play your way up, play your way down. Elijah Molden's still not even out there. Hasn't been for quite some time. You know he's going to figure into this, but you never have enough defensive backs. So to me, I'm not quite as worried about who wins the job there because they're all going to play.
Yeah, I mean they're all going to have a role on this team. There's no doubt about it, for sure. So that is the unofficial Titans depth chart, and then special teams. You know, this is one I think you should pay attention to. Punt returner Kyle Phillips listed as the starter. Then Mason Kinsey, then Reggie Roberson Jr., and then Dontrell Hilliard, Trenton Cannon, Mason Kinsey is your kickoff return, with Brett Kern as the punter and the holder, Randy Bullock, which we have not talked about Randy Bullock at all, and that's a good thing. I mean, when I've watched him, he looks like he's been solid. And so it feels like that there's not a kicking battle right now.
Well, I think because there's not.
Well, there's not because he got hurt. But, I mean, like, if they had been concerned, they would have brought somebody else in.
Oh, big time. Well, Bullock looked good today. And just I think it's so funny to look back. We were actually literally going through every team's kicker situation and figuring out what percentage of the time you need to draft a kicker. What percentage of the time is it a guy on his second team or his third team? Where do you get it? Do you trade for the guy? Is it just you pick up guys off the street until you find one? Because they were really at wit's end on finding a guy like that. But right now it looks like they've got their guy.
Coming up next, it is Stillman & Company with Jared Stillman and Caroline Fenton. Jared saw something at practice or heard something at practice from Ryan Tannehill today. You want to hear what that is coming up next. That'll do us for us from here, from Titans training camp. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 10, 105, 106.3, the game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.